Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How about those Buffalo Sabres? A wild comeback. Did not see that coming. Sabres trailing Philadelphia 3-2 late. Get a goal with 3:03 to go from Skinner. Get a goal with 2:38 to go from Asplund, and then with 24 seconds left, Mittelstadt seals it into the empty net, and Buffalo picks up a 5-3 victory in Philadelphia, sending the few Flyers fans home pretty disappointed, as we welcome you here to the Paul William Belts postgame show. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for being with us here along the Buffalo Sabres radio network. And it's the group of young players that fans are excited about. They're involved here again. Asplund, the game winner. Jacob Bryson quietly picking up two assists in that span, one on the Skinner goal, one to set up Asplund. And then Casey Mittelstadt with his empty netter sealing it for the Sabres. We will have locker room reaction coming up here in just a few minutes from the Zoom call from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. Also, Don Granato and his post-game press conference will carry that live. All the necessary stats and highlights all coming your way. A costly loss for Philadelphia, who entered today four back of the Bruins for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Division. And the Sabres have now won three this year against Philly. And they have, remember what we thought was maybe the lowest point of the season? Back-to-back shutout losses. I think they were both 3-0 scores at home to Philadelphia. The Sabres have had a pair of wins this year by 6-1 scores, and then they get this one here today by a 5-3 margin. And this was the last meeting of the season between these two teams. And if you're the Flyers, you probably had to be thinking coming in, you had to get this one. And to let that slip away with a 3-2 lead late, I'm sure the Flyers themselves, Flyer fans, got to be going bonkers right now that they let that one slip away. I'm sure that they have very little respect for the Sabres. You even seeing tweets that the Flyers broadcast kind of trashing the Sabres, and that, you know, you don't even have to bring your A game to win. And, you know, we've heard that from other broadcasts this year. Look at the Sabres. It's an easy punching bag line here the Sabres are this year with what their record has been. But if there's one thing you could say about since Don Granato has taken over, that other than maybe minus one game, their effort has been there for, I want to say, almost the start to finish of almost all these games. And that's just one big thing we've been asking for the whole time, is that we've just wanted to watch this team give effort and give energy. There were so many lulls under Ralph Kruger, and it's coming to fruition today. Even adding another bright spot in, by the way. I mentioned already Asplund and Bryson and Mittelstadt, who are involved in those goals there late. But Ruustalainen, in his debut, comes in and picks up a goal, which obviously turns out to be a huge difference maker in this game, as the Sabres needed every goal that they needed along the way here in order to get this 5-3 victory. Now, again, the task will get tougher. They've got games coming up with Boston quite a bit ahead going forward. Pittsburgh still as well. The Islanders still before this season comes to an end. But a nice way to finish the series with the Flyers this year, I'm sure, for Don Granato and his Sabres team. Okay, the team is telling us we're going to hear from Jeff Skinner. We're going to hear from Arttu Ruustalainen and also from Kyle Okposo. So those will be the interviews coming up here on your Paul William Belts post-game show. While we wait for those interviews, here's some final stats. Shots in the third. Flyers were all over Linus Ullmark all game. 43 shots in total. It was 16-11 Philly in the third. It ends up 43-31 in favor of the Flyers in the game overall. Power plays, the Sabres go 0 of 3. Philadelphia 1 of 1. In goal, Ullmark gets the win. 43 shots. He made 40 saves. And in net, the loss goes to Carter Hart. Four goals against on 30 shots, so that's 26 saves. And then, of course, Buffalo's 31st shot went into the empty net. Your three stars, Gostisbehere with a goal and an assist. He's star number three. Skinner from Buffalo, he had a goal and an assist. He's star number two. And Rasmus Asplund, he gets the game winner, star number one. Three stars brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Well, again, we will be hearing from Jeff Skinner in just a moment. Also, Ruustalainen and Oposo, Don Granato's postgame comments coming your way here. But today, you also are going to see somebody that played their last game with the Sabres. And in goal, Linus Ullmark, the reports are that they're working on a long-term extension deal. The Sabres, to me, with how poor their goalie depth have been, the fact they've only had one win when Linus Ullmark doesn't play, it's important. I am not a break-the-bank-on-goalie guy for sure, but the drop-off from Ullmark to the next collection of choices, especially with UPL not being ready to go, to me is so drastic that you have to pay him something. If you can get it anywhere in the $5 to $6 million range, I know that that sounds like a lot for a goalie, but there is so much drop-off right now between Ullmark and the next best option that I think you just have to do it. Okay, 5-3, Sabres win it. Let's get some locker room reaction from the Wells Fargo Center, and we'll start with Jeff Skinner, who ends up having a second-star honor, a goal, and an assist. Here's Skinner now live.
Really, any doubt that that it would stand?
I mean, I have zero doubt, but I didn't think I could get in, so I mean, you never know. You don't want to get your hopes up, I guess, fully, but I assume it's going to stand. I was going there, and I couldn't even really see the puck, really, to be honest. So I had a hard time thinking that I could have been able to kick it in.
Jeff, can you just kind of explain the belief and that there is on the bench now, the confidence you guys have that you can come back in any game? Because, I mean, in a span of a few weeks, it's changed. It's been a 180 from, you know, not being able to score to just having a quick strike and being in every game.
Yeah, I think you just have to stick with your game. And I thought we had some chances. We weren't able to capitalize. And obviously, as the game goes along, it sort of tightens up and desperation levels sort of rise a little bit. And lately, we've been able to find those plays. And that's what you need. I think late in games, especially, you need big plays at big moments. On top of that, I think Linus played great. He made some huge saves to keep us in it. A couple of big goals. Aspie there, obviously, huge play there, going to net and getting the game winner there for us. It's a good feeling when everyone chips in like that.
Jeff, the identity of the two power play units is a little bit different, but for the most part, generally, what do you think you guys need to do to start really taking advantage of those situations?
Yeah. I think every game is different, I think, and I think sometimes it's a little bit tougher. I think against Washington, it was a little bit tough for us to get set up. They were really aggressive, and we had a tough time getting pucks off the wall. So we talk about getting into better support spots. And then today, I think we're doing a better job of that. We got in a little bit easier, and we just weren't getting – I don't know if we weren't finding lanes or maybe going for an extra pass. I think we got to simplify a little bit and get pucks in net and try and retrieve them if we miss them. And if not, try and jump on rebounds.
Jeff, the result of the game shows that you guys weren't distracted by the trade deadline. You stayed focused on the game. But when you guys are on the ice Tuesday in Boston, how much of a relief is it going to be knowing that whatever is going to happen is taking place and you guys could just focus on hockey here for the last 3 weeks of the season?
I mean, for me, I don't think on the ice, I don't think it should really change. If guys have families or like off the ice, those kinds of aspects come into play more. And I think that's what sort of makes it a little bit of more an uneasy time. But I mean, I guess maybe if it's in the back of your head and it's past, the deadline's past, you maybe there's some subconscious relief, but I think you come to practice every day and you're trying to get better. Just like tonight, you come to the game, everyone knows the date, but no one's thinking about that when we're on the ice. You're trying to win the game.
Hey, Jeff, can you talk a little bit about the confidence of the young players, especially the Mittelstadt line, as goals starting to go in, and yourself included, and the smiles that are on your faces?
Yeah, I think those guys have been real good. I think Mitzi's been real solid in the middle. And obviously Tom and Aspie have been doing a great job of playing off him and finishing off some of those plays. As the team starts to play better, guys will naturally and get results, guys will naturally become more confident. And it's a good thing to see. I think on the back end, you see it too a little bit with that Dolly and Jokiharju pairing. They're playing great right now. And it's fun to see when young guys get that confidence and hopefully they can keep it going.
We're all set, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there is Jeff Skinner. Arttu Ruostolainen coming up here. He'll be next to speak here on our Paul William Belts postgame show. Speaking of Ruostolainen, here he is now live on the postgame as he can celebrate his first NHL goal in Buffalo's 5-3 win.
Can you just take us through that play, scoring the goal? I mean, what you saw from Dylan there and him being able to get you the puck?
I think it was like 3-on-2 rush, and Kasi made a nice play, and I just closed my eyes and made a shot, and it went in, so that's good.
Arttu, can you explain how in just, a couple games here, your comfort has increased in the NHL?
I think it is a lot. Like, first game was a tough one, but I felt like today after the first period, I was feeling pretty good and confident on the ice.
You talked about your first game being a dream come true. What's it like scoring?
It's awesome. It's awesome. It's like another dream, and yeah, I don't know what to say. It's awesome.
I have two quick ones for you, Arttu. First of all, what are you going to do with the puck? We all saw that Kyle fetched it for you there.
I don't know yet. Let's see.
What's it just been like seeing the support that you've received back home? I mean, I know that I see it on social media. Everybody in Finland is obviously extremely excited for you and obviously your family. What's it been like so far?
It's been awesome. Like, I have put a lot of work behind, and it's like a dream come true, and it's good to know there's like a lot of people who support me, and yeah, it feels great.
All right, we're all set. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Arttu Ruostolainen, his first ever NHL career goal, a blast from the circle. And if you didn't see it on the TV broadcast, if you were listening on the radio, the puck he shot so hard, it actually got caught in the back netting, and Oposo was trying to get it out, actually had to give a little effort to actually get it out of the net, but he went and grabbed it, and obviously able to give it to Arttu for his first career goal. So a moment for him that he won't forget. Congratulations to him, and obviously sweeter for him that it comes in a 5-3 victory. John Warrow of the AP with a great tweet here. Want to see the comparison? I got a good comparison on the coaches. We'll get to that in a moment here, but now Kyle Oposo is stepping up to the Zoom call here in Philly. Let's go there live.
Fuck out of the net for Arttu. What was going through your head?
Get it out of there as quick as possible. I mean, it was, I couldn't get it out of there. And I know that obviously as a goalie, you want to get back in your net. So I was just trying to get it out of there as quick as I could and be as respectful as I could to Carter.
Kyle, just what's impressed you about Arttu? He's obviously, he arrived in the NHL close to a finished product, but I mean, What's impressed you about him being able to step in and contribute very quickly?
Well, you can tell that he's played professional hockey. I mean, he does the little things right. He stays on top of people and all the things that kind of you need to do really well in order to play in this league. And so there's the learning curve with that is going to be minimal for him. And, definitely strong in his skates and very smart. So, and obviously you saw his shot today. I mean, that's a heck of a shot and great play by Cuz. So it's been awesome to play with him for a couple of games.
Hey Kyle, has the amount of young guys getting opportunities right now kind of introduced a new dynamic in the locker room or on the bench maybe?
Yeah, it's been really fun to see them kind of take the bull by the horns and singling out Mitzi especially. I think after his first year, he knew that he needed to work on a lot of things, and I give him a ton of credit. He did that, and it the following year probably wasn't what he wanted, but then this year he's looked like a completely different player, and he has really taken advantage of his opportunity, and he's really embraced with Jack being out of the lineup. Obviously he's really embraced being that kind of number one center, and he's taken advantage of it. So definitely a credit to him and all of our young guys too. You look at the maturity with Dahls and Henry Yokiharu over the past, five, six, seven games, and how they've been playing and how confident that they are. And Tomer, I thought Tomer did such a good job winning so many little battles and creating things with his body, and he's learning how to use his frame. And so, a ton of our young guys are taking steps, and it's just good to see.
Kyle, you guys are clearly a better team now than you were even a couple of weeks ago. You're showing more fight. Even the games that you've lost, there's been more of a battle level for the most part. So what has really made the difference? What about the changes that Don made or even his message has gotten, I guess, more out of this group when you've lost some really important contributors to this team over the last couple of weeks, whether it be injuries or trades?
Yeah, we're just starting to realize how we need to play. And I think everybody's getting on the same page in the new system that Donnie wants us to play. And it seems to be working for our group. And we seem to be creating a lot more offensive chances and limiting opponents' opportunities. And that's been a big positive. But then there's also kind of the old school, you got to bring your lunch pail as well, and we had the one game against Jersey at home a couple games ago where, we didn't like our battle level and Donnie came in and told us that and looked us in the eye and said, we need to be better and we need to be better prepared. And we were the following game. And tonight I thought was another step in that direction when, we had to battle, we had to bear down. We did that.
How do you see kind of the belief on the bench? How do you kind of see that displayed that you guys, now believe, I'm sorry, I'm tripping up on my words, but you guys believe you're going to win every game now, it seems like. I mean, how do you see that reflected on the bench, on the ice? Just what do you see from the guys?
Yeah, it's, I think it's, that's something that has been missing a little bit over the years. Knowing that if you go into a game, there's just having that feeling that you're going to win every single game that you play. And if you don't win, you know that you're going to play the right way. And then you're going to continue to build off that and you're going to win the next game. And I don't think we're quite there yet to where we have, that complete confidence, but we will get there. And it's been a fun process. We're going to continue to build and mature as a team. We have a lot of good tests coming up. That was a desperate hockey team over there and they need the points. And we knew that that they were going to come out hard, and they did. And we could have folded when it was 2-0, and we didn't. So we're learning how to win games different ways. You need to do that to become a good team, and we're starting to take steps.
Following up on what you said about Casey, are you seeing moments of leadership from him?
Yeah, it's definitely. I think the conversations between myself and him will stay between us. But I've definitely mentioned that to him a couple times that you know, he's doing the right things and he's continuing to mature. He's continuing to gain respect from our players, from players around the league. And, you know, but this is a time to really step on the gas, and it's not time to say, oh, I'm having a pretty good year and, you know, get comfortable. You want to step on the gas. You want to play, you want to push to get better, push to get wins, push for him to get points. And, you know, I know he's going to continue to do that.
Tomorrow's obviously a big day around the league. The calendar says you guys are off tomorrow. How do you plan to spend it? You watching anything? Or are you paying attention?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty big hockey nerd, so I'll be following. But it's not an easy day, especially in the situation that we're in. I think there's times where in this industry, you know, people forget that. You know, the players on our team are human beings and have emotions and have families. And, you know, when you get traded, it's not just, oh, he got dealt to that place and that's it. There's a lot that goes into it. And there's a lot that goes into becoming a team and, you know, having relationships with people. So it's not an easy day for the guys that do get moved, you know, but I understand it's part of the business. And, you know, as we continue to mature as a team, guys will get used to that as well.
We're all set, Kyle. Thank you.
Okay, Kyle Oposo there, wrapping up our blue and gold locker report. Still to come, we will have Sabres interim head coach Don Granato in just a few moments. 5-3 Buffalo victorious. I want to give you that stat here before we take a break. Ralph Krueger, for the entire season that he was the coach, the Sabres had 6 wins. Don Granato already has 4. They're 4-6-2 under Granato. So in half the games Granato has coached, they have at least a point, 4-6-2. Again, long ways to go, but a very good turnaround considering how bad it was. Sabres next play Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, against the Boston Bruins, and of course you'll hear it right here on the Buffalo Sabres radio network. Okay, at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. For all of you on our flagship here in Buffalo on Sports Radio 550, Don Granato coming up, highlights, we'll update the standings, more stats, read some tweets, all that coming up here. As the Sabres, with a wild comeback, 3 goals in the final, 3:03, beat the Flyers 5-3, the final score. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Sabres doing his job. Now it's turned over. A chance for Lott right in front. Stopped by Omar. Loose puck in front. Hayes can't get away from the shot. Myers with a blast, and that's blocked. That hit Irwin. Irwin can barely get up, but he does to take a spot in front of the net.
Lots of activity. A lot of shots for Linus Allmark. He faced 43 in the game. Stopped 40 of them in that sequence. You see here the save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. Great deals are waiting for you now at your local Upstate Honda dealer. Brian Colziel back here on the Paul William Belts postgame. 5-3 Buffalo victorious. Let's show you how the comeback happened here. Shane Gostisbehere scoring 3:47 into the third to give Philadelphia a 3-2 advantage. But then late in the third, here's where the Buffalo surge comes. With just 3:03 left, Skinner and Giroux battling in the crease. It goes in to tie it up at 3.
Sabres win the draw. Skinner leaves it. Olsson fires a shot. Loose puck is there. I think that crosses the line as Jeff Skinner went to the net. The net is dislodged, but the puck did cross the line, and the referee was all over it. Of course, there'll be eyes all over the replay as well. So along with you and everyone else, for now the game is tied at 3, and we will take a look.
Yeah, so for Skinner, it ended up counting his 5th from Olofsson and Bryson, officially at 16:57. That tied the game at 3. The very next shift, Rasmus Asplund in the right spot at the right time. He pounces on a rebound to give Buffalo their first lead.
Keep in mind, the Flyers, they want 2 points. They'll take it any way they can get the 2, but they would have rather had them in regulation. They trail Boston by 4 for the number 4 seed. Backhand score! The Sabres, Rasmus Asplund, with 2:38 to go, have taken a 4-3 lead. So twice in this game, they have gone back-to-back quickly against the Flyers.
Asplund with his fifth from Bryson at 17-22. That gave Buffalo a 4-3 lead. That's your game winner and the goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park, the designated cancer center of the Buffalo Sabres, urging men to get a second opinion at Roswell Park when they hear the words, "You have cancer." 4-3 Buffalo, but still over 2.5 to go. Plenty of time, but the Sabres eventually do seal it. It's Mittelstadt into the empty net.
Left side, drop pass. Shot doesn't get to the net. Bouncing puck. Battle for it inside the line. Oppozo to Mittelstadt at center ice with an empty net. Scores! What a comeback by the Sabres late in the third period.
Mittelstadt with his sixth of the season. Oposo and Shahan assisting on the empty netter. 5-3 Buffalo. That's the score there. That ends up being your final. Buffalo victorious by a 5-3 score. All of your moments and highlights of the game, they're brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. So 5-3 Sabres win it. Philadelphia outshooting Buffalo 43-31. Power plays, the Sabres don't get themselves any help there. 0 of 3. The Flyers went 1 of 1. Your three stars again: Gostisbehere, goal and an assist, star number 3. Skinner, a goal and an assist, star number 2. And Rasmus Asplund, the game-winning goal. He is star number 1. All Asplund does is produce in these games. He has been very, very good. He should have been playing all year. But, I mean, we can go through a list of players that maybe Ralph Kruger should have been playing more and didn't. The off-season signings, you wonder how much influence Ralph Kruger had on whether the giving Gergensen's the big contract, signing Cody Eakin, you know, even Toby Reeder, others like this. I mean, it's just Asplund should have been playing. Maybe Ruustalainen should have been playing. There are others. Maybe, you know, Mittelstadt obviously didn't start the year. It's really disappointing to think maybe had these players been in all year that the development could be even at a higher level right now. And you could even argue about, well, should have Kruger been fired earlier? The answer is probably yes. To me, after the pair of games, ironically enough, against today's opponent, if you remember the Flyers' pair of games when they went, they were shut out, back-to-back home games on a Saturday and Sunday, both by 3-0 scores, like that should have been the end of it for me. Maybe it should have been happening even before that, but they let it go and let it go. Now, there's progress is being made here, and I think that we're seeing it here. Don Granato, 4-6-2. Compared to Ralph Kruger, 6-18-4. I mean, that's a significant difference for sure. By the way, Allmark, 40 saves he picked up in that game. It led to his 50th career NHL win, so a nice stat there. Don Granato coming up in one moment, but quickly our spotlight review. We look at the other team here, brought to you by Jim's Steakout. No need to lace up for great food. Get it delivered. Visit jimsteakout.com. Well, you look at Philadelphia, and that maybe their best offensive players, or at least guys that always seem to do well against Buffalo, that's Giroux, that's Couturier, and the Sabres did a great job today. Couturier does get one assist, but Giroux, no points at all. In fact, he helps Skinner that battle in there. They win it. Skinner wins that battle, and the puck goes in. That ties it up at 3. So a nice job by the Sabres on two of the best Philadelphia Flyer players. Okay, Don Granato, his press conference brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. Let's hear from the Sabres head coach on the big comeback win.
You've mentioned, you know, a few different times that you want this team to be better. In the third period today, what signs did you see from that group that you haven't seen in the games where comebacks did fall short? Did you see a battle level that hadn't been there? I mean, what were your thoughts?
I believe maybe the only difference was it was collective and it was stronger. You know, it's we've had a much better belief system, you know, progressively the last couple weeks, and it's getting stronger. And you can feel that down the bench, up and down the bench, more confident speak, less emotional speak. So yeah, a lot of subtlety, but good signs.
And the guys seem genuinely happy for R2. Just how happy are you for him? And just what's helped him acclimate to the NHL quickly here?
Yeah, he's worked hard. He's a very competitive person. Obviously, he's talented, and I'm happy for everybody. Certainly, R2's first goal is huge. It was a beautiful goal at a great time. So it was real momentum changer, you know, the play Jeff Skinner made to Sammy, and then you followed up right away with that. But yeah, very happy for him, and happy again for all our guys. It's pretty neat to see how excited they get for their teammate. That's always, you know, makes you happy as a coach.
Don, the result says that your guys were able to stay in the moment and not be distracted by what's going on. How much easier is it going to be for you to coach this team come Tuesday, no matter what happens tomorrow, just knowing it's over and you'll have the team you have?
Yeah, sometimes it's harder to coach them. You know, we saw that we win in Jersey and then we didn't do so well against Jersey. So it's interesting. Sometimes you win, it's, like I said, it's harder to reset, but we have to reset. We'll enjoy it. They have one of the mandatory days off per month tomorrow. We spoke real quick after the game, and we've got a Boston, and you know the intensity is going to be high there. So we got to hit the reset button real fast. But you're right that this gives you some more confidence, I guess. But you know, I've challenged our guys. You don't need to do this type of thing to have confidence. And that's been the what I think they've believability's come in. Like, you know, I asked them, I said, do you need to win to be confident? And are you only going to be confident because you just won? So, you know, that confidence thing, you know, this is great, but, you know, you can't, your confidence can't wait for something like this. You have to have it ahead of time. And we're seeing that, which is very encouraging. Now you need to match it with that work ethic. And that was the only time we've stubbed our toes.
I apologize, maybe a little unclear there. A little more just on the thought of, I mean, the deadline's coming tomorrow. So Tuesday, you're coming off a win, but Tuesday you're coming off the deadline too, and guys are going to know what the result is. Does that make it a little easier for you that distraction's going to be gone and you'll be able to just go forward?
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't understand that. You know, the deadline didn't feel like it distracted us. Maybe you got something I didn't from the players and talked to them, but I didn't see it or feel it. Still look like they were in the moment, whether we're asking them to focus in a meeting or, you know, a drill and practice. So, you know, they still looked engaged to me. So I don't expect it to be any different in regards.
Hey, Don, can you talk a little bit about that play between Skinner and Reinhardt off the dot? Can you also talk about Skinner's role in the dot and his seeming
smile? I caught that too. And these guys have to have fun. You know, I know that it's you ride an edge as a coach when you say that because you have to win. I mean, let's face it, we're in a business that's competitive and you need to win. You know, but don't confuse you could never be content, but you got to be able to enjoy the moments. And, you know, he's finding a way to do that more. It's nice to see that because it's the only way he's going to play at his peak and get into the zone, you know, shed that baggage. And he did on those plays tonight. He went to the net on the goal in the third, which was an incredible play to just battle to the net. And off the draw, you just saw how slippery he is when he's on his game. He just, you know, he's a slippery player. He's got incredible agility and mobility, and it was evident you know, several times today.
Don, did you feel that Dylan really found his game in the second period? And, I mean, just generally, how do you feel he responded in his first game back?
It's a tough game for Dylan. You could see that, you know, it was not easy for him because he hasn't played, and he's jumping in a lineup without a lot of practice reps. So I was gauging that on the bench. I didn't want to give him too much or put him in too much of a situation because he's still, you know, he still wasn't feeling himself, you know, just the subtleties, but his competitive fight carries him, you know, even the scrum that happened in the penalties that he went 4-on-4. I mean, that's initiated by his competitiveness, and it's great for our whole group when that ignites, and it did, and it impacts things. So he found ways, even though it didn't look like he felt as good as he would want to contribute in battle.
Okay, there's Sabres head coach Don Granato. His postgame comments, again, brought to you by Paul William Belt, your power of attorney. We'll get the scores here in one moment, but let's connect with our fans now. Brought to you by Nextiva by Premcom, the official telephone system provider of the Buffalo Bills and Sabres. Lots of tweets coming in just about essentially saying that Don Granato should be given a chance here. Again, it's so hard to judge, you know, will this carry over long term? But I mean, it's hard not to buy in either, for sure. The young player development in such a quick manner that we're seeing is, I think, what has me most excited. Asplund, Mittelstadt, Ruustalainen, Bryson, you know, even some of these, look at even some of the veterans looking good. Cousins, I should throw in there as well. So good stuff, no doubt. Okay, Mark says, you know, I tweeted out Rasmus Asplund should have been playing here all season. All he's done here is produce. And Mark says, I totally agree. You got to keep getting ice time for the young guns right now. So thanks for that tweet, Mark. You can always send your thoughts at Brian WGR. All right, 5-3 Buffalo. Let's check the scores from the rest of the games. And our driver on the NHL is brought to you by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. One game going on right now. Late second period in Vegas. No goals between the Golden Knights and the Coyotes. They are scoreless. 6 o'clock puck drop. Colorado is at Anaheim. 7 p.m. trio of games. Pittsburgh at New Jersey. New York and New York. Rangers and Islanders from Long Island. Capitals and Bruins from Boston. 8 p.m. Dallas is at Nashville. Those are your NHL games today. Quick look at the Masters leaderboard. It may be a runaway. Hideki Matsuyama is now up to 13 under par. He has a 6-shot lead on Will Zalatoris. John Rahm and Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele are 7 shots back at minus 6. If it wasn't for Matsuyama, this would be an incredible finish. You'd have like 10 guys within a few strokes of each other. But Matsuyama up by 6. Still has the back 9 to go. So lots of time there. But as maybe you transition from the Sabres to the Masters, which, by the way, I'll be doing, Matsuyama right now in big-time control. We'll see if he can hold on to get his first major. There's your look at the scores. Let's finish with our check of the NHL standings brought to you by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Markets. Well, Buffalo now has reached double digits in wins. 10 wins through 41 games, 10, 25, and 6. Again, not something to write home about, but the improvement as of late has been better. The Sabres are up to 26 points. A costly loss for Philadelphia. Their 41st game results in a regulation loss. No points against the Sabres. They dropped 3 games against the Sabres this year. They are now 19-16-6 and remain 4 points back of Boston. Philadelphia has played 3 more games than the Bruins as well. Our next broadcast, speaking of the Bruins, will be the Sabres in Boston on Tuesday night. 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have the Paul William Belt's pregame show an hour ahead of time at 6 right here on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. And with that, we want to put a wrap today on our Paul William Belt's postgame. Thanks to TJ Luckman, our network producer, Pat Malacaro, our anchor, Paul Hamilton for joining me during pregame, and for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colesheel. I thank you for listening. Again, the final. Sabres come back. 3 late goals. They beat the Flyers 5-3. We'll talk to you Tuesday night with the Sabres in Boston right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.